Take God's Word and turn to the book of Judges, chapter 15. Judges 15, and we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 20 this evening. Judges 15. Again, looking at what happened as Israel had Samson as their judge, as their deliverer, which points us again to Christ. Judges 15. This is the word of our God. But after a while, in a time of wheat harvest, Samson visited his wife with a young goat and said, "I will go into my wife in her room." But her father did not let her enter. Her father said, "I really thought that you hated her intensely, so I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister more beautiful than she? Please let her be yours instead." Samson then said to them, "This time I shall be blameless in regard to the Philistines when I do them harm. Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took torches and turned the foxes tail to tail and put one torch in the middle between two tails. When he had set fire to the torches, he released the foxes into the standing grain of the Philistines, thus burning up both the shocks and the standing grain along with the vineyards and groves. And the Philistines said, 'Who did this?' And they said, 'Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he took his wife and gave her to his companion.' And so the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. Samson said to them, 'Since you act like this, I will surely take revenge on you, but after that I will quit.' He struck them ruthlessly with a great slaughter, and he went down and lived in the cleft of the rock of Etam. And the Philistines went up and camped in Judah and spread out in Lehi. The men of Judah said, 'Why have you come up against us?' And they said, 'We have come up to bind Samson in order to do to him as he did to us.' And 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Etam and said to Samson, 'Do you not know that the Philistines are rulers over us? What then is this that you have done to us?' And he said to them, 'As they did to me, so I have done to them.' They said to him, 'We have come down to bind you so that we may give you into the hands of the Philistines.' And Samson said to them, 'Swear to me that you will not kill me.' So they said to him, 'No, but we will bind you fast and give you into their hands, and yet surely we will not kill you.' Then they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted as they met him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, so that the ropes that were on his arms were as flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds dropped from his hands. He found the fresh jawbone of a donkey, so he reached out and took it and killed 1,000 men with it. And Samson said, 'With the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have killed 1,000 men.' When he finished speaking, he threw the jawbone from his hand, and he named the place Ramath Lehi. Then he became very thirsty, and he called to the Lord and said, 'You have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?' But God split the hollow place that is in the Lehi, so that water came out of it. When he drank, his strength returned and revived, and he revived. Therefore he named it En Hakor, which is in Lehi to this day. So he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines." Now that is the word of our God. Chapter 15 is similar to chapter 14, and it's also similar to what we'll see next week, Lord willing, chapter 16, in that it continually reveals that the Philistines are winning losers. Every time they accomplish something against Samson or against Israel, it seems like they've won, and yet the Lord, through Samson, he uses Samson to respond and make them a laughingstock. They lose. And over there are the Philistines coming back to do something else. That's what we see over and over in this chapter. As we see in chapter 14, we see in chapter 16. They come back to do something else, and they haven't figured out that they can't defeat Yahweh and they can't defeat his people. In this chapter, you have in the mind of the Philistine, if we were looking at the Philistine and looking through his eyes, this is what you would see. Verses 1 through 6, Samson is gone. Peace is restored. The girl is given to another man. And then the Lord responds through Samson with the flaming foxes. Verses 6 through 8, the Philistines burn the girl and her father because of this. Samson comes and brings a great slaughter. Verses 9 through 17, Samson is bound by Judah, handed over to the Philistines. Then you have Samson and the jawbone. And the place is actually called Jawbone Hill afterwards. Over and over this happens in these chapters. Continually the Lord is using Samson to save, deliver Israel from the Philistines. And it's, in some ways, it should be quite humorous to us. Every move of the Philistines brings temporary success in their eyes, and yet it ends in disaster for them. Now, these are the enemies of the Lord's people, and Yahweh is making a mockery of them. In verses 9 and following, we see the lethargy of the people, God's people. In response to what Samson has done with the great slaughter after he burned with foxes and they burned the father and the girl, he brought that great slaughter. The Philistines threaten Lehi and Judah. And the men of Judah, God's people, ask, why are you attacking us? Why are you coming up against us? And so to God's people, Samson was the bad guy, not the Philistines. Can you believe that? Samson is the bad guy. And they go and tie him up. And you see the verse 11, the description of God's people, it says that they are ruled by the Philistines. They're not, in contrast to that, they're not ruled by God. They're ruled by the Philistines. Israel is shown to be okay with that. They're okay with their bondage. They're okay with their slavery like Israel was when they had just come out of Egypt. They wanted to go back to Egypt. Israel has here forsaken the Lord, and yet He has not forsaken them, has He? They're faithless, and yet He is faithful. You remember the hostility that the God's people are to have between the God's people and Satan's seed. Remember in Genesis the hostility between Satan's seed and the woman's seed. Here, it's in some sense, it looks like it's blended together. There's no hostility between the people who are supposed to be God's people and Satan's seed, the Philistines. And there may be times for us that we look out at the church, we look out at other congregations, and we see this has already happened. They have made friends with the world. They're trying to please men, right, in their worship and their ministries. And so there is no enmity between them and Satan and his seed and the world. But we need to remember that the Lord is at enmity with Satan and at enmity with Satan's seed. And He loves the seed of the woman. He loves His people. And He loves the followers of Christ. Yahweh does not call us to negotiate with evil, does He? Like Judah does here, they're in some sense negotiating for the Philistines that they would get Samson. He doesn't call us to negotiate with those evil and with sin, but actually to wage war upon those things. And then we see verses 14 through 20. The Holy Spirit strengthens Samson. The Spirit comes upon him mightily. And his hands being bound, it was as if they were not bound anymore. It's like they just burned off and they dropped to the ground. His strength that was given by the Holy Spirit was so great that he took the jawbone of a donkey and he killed 1,000 men. It's a true story. God tells us here. 1,000 men with a jawbone of a donkey. We can't believe that, can we, in some sense? And here the Lord tells us that's what happened. Why? Because the Holy Spirit strengthened Samson. And then verse 18, it concludes the chapter in some sense in which Samson calls out to the Lord for the first time in Scripture so far. First time Samson calls out, we see it says, then he came very thirsty after he had done this. He named the place Ramath-Lehi, or the Jawbone Hill. And he became very thirsty and he called to the Lord and said, you have given this great deliverance. You've saved your people by the hand of your servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised, the Philistines? It was the Lord who had saved Israel through him, and now he's saying, are you going to save but not sustain your servant. And the Lord responds and he sustains him. He gives him water. So he is sustained. So it is the Lord, that the Lord is the one who saves, and he is the one who sustains us. And it's the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Spirit who works in us and strengthens us. We think of Ephesians, which we'll read in just a few minutes here. Of Ephesians. We need to be making war with our sinful flesh that still remains. And it's the Spirit who's in us, the all-powerful Spirit who strengthens like Samson, except for perhaps even more with us. He strengthens us to work for Him, to work to put to death our sin and to work in us righteousness. And that is to bring the Lord Jesus glory. And we have Him in our hearts. Well, one day we have that promise. We'll be free from the sin and free from sin. And so we look forward to that day. But now we think, well, the Lord has saved us, and it's the one, the Lord, the only one who can save us, but He also sustains us and He gives us His Spirit to do so. And so He doesn't just leave us to ourselves. He actually gives us the Spirit. He's with us always. Perhaps that's what we learn here in Judges 15 from this account. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You that You are the Lord who saves us and sustains us. You're the Lord who gives us the Holy Spirit. You strengthen us in our trials and all situations. We are strengthened by You. Let us not, we'll learn perhaps, Lord willing, next week, let us not grieve the Spirit. And let us not strain that relationship or rebel against what the Spirit is moving us to do, but submit. Follow. We pray that as we think of this humorous situation where the Philistines are continually bringing something in against Israel and against Samson, and You respond in a great way, destroying those actions of destroying the Philistines, Your enemies, or causing great havoc. Father, we pray that You would show us over and over that You are superior to all other gods and to all other peoples, even those in the world who might seem like they have the good life, and they are continually, it seems like they're blessed. Yet we know that truly in the eternal perspective, they are not blessed, and yet they will be judged. We pray that You would save Your people, Your elect, those who are persecuted throughout the world, to sustain them, sustain us in our time and our place. Those who are struggling with their bodies. We think of Patricia and Grace and others, even those like Sharon and Bob and Marie. And we pray that You would be with Dina and the baby within the womb. We pray that You would heal those who are sick, heal those who are struggling with their chronic illnesses or their bodies for long periods of time. Heal them, Lord, because You're the God who heals. And we pray that as we looked at this evening, sustain them. Sustain them in their bodies and deliver them over so that and at the right time they will enter into glory. And their bodies, they will be given new glorified bodies. Lord, we look forward to that day. We look forward to continually seeing how You will save Your people and sustain them. How You'll continually strengthen them by the Spirit. Lord, we pray that You would strengthen us now as we continue in our worship, that You would be glorified in all things, and that You would bless Your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.